Good morning, Shabbat Shalom. Did everybody hear about the earthquakes in California? Something to think about. This week's parsha is titled Tazria and covers Leviticus 12 and 13. Tazria translates to English as she conceives. The parsha begins with the ceremonial cleansing a woman would undergo after giving birth. If a woman gave birth to a male child, she would be unclean for 7 days. On the eighth day, the baby boy would be circumcised. The ceremonial uncleanness would last an additional 33 days, bringing the total of 40 days of ceremonial impurity. If the mother gave birth to a girl, then she would be unclean for 14 days, followed by an additional 66 days for a total of 80 days. Essentially double the time period for a male birth. After the days of purification were completed, the new mother would bring a burnt offering and sin offering to the priest in order for him to make atonement on her behalf. A one-year-old lamb is a burnt offering and a turtle dove or pigeon as a sin offering. If she didn't have the means to provide a lamb, then two turtle doves or pigeons would suffice, one for each application. The scriptures remind us that this is what Miriam presented after the birth of Yeshua. Because of their humble financial means, we should find it assuring that Adonai, in his justice, provided a means of atonement for the poor and wealthy alike. Even though the occasion was a joyous one, the sacrifices required by God were designed to impress on the minds of the parents the reality of original sin and that the child inherited a sin nature. Further, it should be understood, circumcision points to the fact that cleansing or cutting away, a removal, if you will, is needed at the very core of all humanity. Paul describes this cleansing as cutting in the book of Romans 2:29, when he refers to the circumcision of the heart, one that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Moses used this expression twice in Deuteronomy 10 and 30. Chapter 13 starts with a series of tests for leprosy. This was in order to safeguard the nation of Israel in more ways than one. Adonai commanded isolation and observation for 7 day periods to anyone suffering a skin affliction. Even in the ancient world, there were local physicians and herbalists of sorts, but the sons of Israel were directed to present their condition to the priest and no one else for assessment. This suggests the possibility, though not necessarily, of an underlying spiritual condition needing to be addressed beyond the symptoms of the physical affliction itself. The term leprosy is used broadly in scriptures to refer to various skin afflictions, but can also refer to the severe and debilitating sickness we call Hansen's disease. These would be the ones who yelled out, "Unclean, unclean." Most biblical commentators regard chapter 13 as speaking primarily of individuals who weren't ostracized, but commingled in the general population except at the place of worship. Leprosy is an opportunistic bacterial condition that can lie dormant in the blood until triggered by some catalyst condition, much like sin does. It isn't until verse 46 that we hear of those individuals with the severe form being removed and required to dwell outside the camp for the well-being of the Israel nation. Let me state that it would be presumptuous and irresponsible to presume that people suffering skin afflictions then or now have a spiritual condition that doesn't align with the will of God. Further, we ought to examine ourselves first, right? The fact is, sickness and disease is a byproduct of a fallen world. With that being said, deep within this ancient and foundational book of the Torah are contained layers of teachings and the framework of God's will and mandates for a separate and distinct people, beginning initially with Israel, and eventually offered today to everyone who accepts his unmerited grace through Yeshua and Messiah, our Messiah. Here we see a picture of covenant, restoration, and cleansing. Our infinite, all-knowing God, the God of Israel, knew that a purging would have to take place in his chosen people if they were to be his treasure among all nations. Leprosy was horrible and debilitating, yes, but in God's love and wisdom, it also served as a visual aid to show us how sin can consume our lives. Like leprosy, which first appears as benign, small red spots, sin can start out small and seemingly insignificant. But like leprosy, before too long, it spreads and takes over a person's life. And much like leprosy renders the nerves in the extremities insensitive, sin eats away at us spiritually, making us insensitive to what is holy and good. And just as leprosy will slowly and painfully consume us, so will sin. Adonai's message for the nation of Israel then, just as it is for us today, is that there is no life outside of him. In Luke chapter 8, we learn of a woman who suffered terribly with a chronic blood condition for 12 years. Her faith in Yeshua was so strong that she reached out and touched his garment and was instantly healed. Also in Luke 17, we have a beautiful picture of Lord Yeshua's infinite mercy and healing power. 10 lepers approached him, crying out, "Master, have mercy on us." Yeshua pronounced healing over them. By his very word, they were healed. It should be mentioned, this occurred on the road to Jerusalem, passing between Samaria and Galilee, on his way to celebrate his last Pesach and subsequently suffer crucifixion. How ironic that just as blood was at the root of the lepers and the woman's infirmity, blood was the substance required for our redemption. If we choose to neglect the hidden sin in our lives, being followers of the true and living God, neglecting to fulfill the great physician's prescription, life itself will become a slow and painful experience. But the reverse is also true. If we will confess and forsake our sin, we will find our lives renewed and fulfilled with his joy and strength. Shabbat shalom.